now pass the floor to Ambassador Per Fabricius Andersen, a permanent representative of Denmark to the EU. And as we heard, you're coming soon to Greece and you will visit Thessaloniki, because we all know that Thessaloniki is the best place to live in Greece. You're going to talk about SDGs and the European Green Deal. Denmark was a forerunner on sustainable development, to some extent a front runner still. So you have the floor, and we look forward to hearing you. You have the floor, Basim.
Thank you, Professor, and thank you for the invitation and the possibility to give a Danish input to this interesting discussion. It's always a pleasure to discuss the SDGs, which basically is a key tenet of Danish politics, both domestically and in our approach to the European Union. Recent challenges posed to sustainable development due to the fallout of from COVID, and also in the wake of Russia's aggression against Ukraine and the global pandemic, demonstrate the importance of our continued commitment. The realization of the sustainable development goals in Denmark is a broadly anchored ambition with a high degree of consensus among the political parties and associations and grassroots movements, among companies and interest organizations. In Denmark, achieving sustainable development is not merely a project by politicians and civil servants. Achieving sustainable development is not merely a project by but solidly embedded in public life, including in local communities. And building on these broad foundations, Denmark has become what some would call a global champion in implementing the SDGs. And achieving the SDGs is indeed a process. We still have a number of challenges that we need to overcome. Let me provide a few examples. One of them is concerns life below the water, SDG 14, where challenges persist for us at least. As a matter of fact, our clean water score is decreasing. That means that chemicals and excessive nutrients and human pathogens and trash is contaminating marine waters under our national jurisdiction. We also still import too many products that created CO2 emissions when they were manufactured in other parts of the world, and health issues remain. I bring up these examples to demonstrate that the SDGs are not about pointing fingers, but a common ambition to do better. We are a small country, but I hope that our SDG performance can inspire others. Aside from that, Denmark's main opportunity to make a difference for sustainable development is through bilateral partnerships and notably through the European Union. On a daily basis, we are engaged in building a union for the Europeans where, in the spirit of the SDGs, the improvements that take place are often aimed at especially benefiting the most disadvantaged and vulnerable groups. And one of the guiding principles for our ambition in the EU is the implementation of the development goals across a wide range of policy areas. We're happy to note that this is not just the approach of Denmark, but one broadly shared among member states and by the Commission as well. Let me highlight a few initiatives at the EU level that contribute to delivering on the SDGs. In line with the European Green Deal, the EU has set an ambitious target of reducing the greenhouse gas emissions by at least 55% in 2030. And to that end, it was mentioned before, we adopted the Fit for 55 package, which includes a slate of initiatives, including on improving renewable energy, increasing the energy efficiency of buildings and the ETS. And we are rapidly decoupling from Russian fossil fuels in favor of sustainable and low emission energy sources under the Repower EU. So sustainability remains a horizontal ambition across EU policies. And we put our money where our mouth is. At least 30% of the EU's budget is to be spent on climate related issues. Next Generation EU, the recovery package of 750 billion euro in response to the fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic also makes it clear that sustainable development is to be a core component of the economic recovery. And in the current EU budget, including the Next Generation EU, about 600 billion euro is estimated to be allocated to climate change. That is indeed quite a bit. And more broadly, 112 billion euro is dedicated to ensuring biodiversity in the current MFF. So the SDGs have been integrated into the European semester and mainstreamed in our better regulation agenda. In this year, the Commission will put forward the EU's first voluntary review of the SDGs implementation in the framework of the UN's high-level political forum in July. And the review aims at reaffirming the EU as a global actor at the UN and contribute to projecting the Team Europe approach to international partnerships at global level. It will uphold the EU's commitment to the SDGs and to multilateralism, as it was mentioned before, because we need that indeed. Notably, when globally shared frameworks and values are at risk with the Russian aggression in Ukraine, and we will do what we can to engage eagerly in subsequent discussions. Much work is being done to ensure that the EU contributes to sustainable development, internally as well as externally. In Denmark, we try continuously to be at the forefront of these efforts, seeking to raise ambitions. And as it was said earlier, achieving the SDGs is severely challenged by the consequence of Russia's war against Ukraine. A war is always a human tragedy, and the war in Ukraine is no exception. Its ripple effects are extending human suffering far beyond its borders, especially impacting the most vulnerable. The war, in all its dimensions, has exacerbated a global cost of living crisis unseen in at least one generation, compromising lives, livelihoods, and our aspirations for a better world by 2030. And this comes at a time when the COVID-19 pandemic has left the world economy in a fragile state. Today, 60% of workers have lower real incomes than before the pandemic, and 60% of the poorest countries are in debt, distress, or high risk of becoming so. And as the biggest donor of international aid in the world, the EU will and must defend multilateralism and demonstrate that we share with the UN the commitment to getting the SDGs back on track after the COVID-19 pandemic and following the global consequences of Russia's illegal war in Ukraine. Well, from a narrow national point of view, I'm pretty sure that Denmark is off to a good start, starting position when compared to many other countries. For decades, we have had made policy choices and invested in promoting social development, equitable growth, and sustainability. Our favorable position today is partly due to generations of politicians who dared to set ambitious goals. And this is actually much in line with the work that we try to do every day in the EU. We try to be courageous on behalf of future generations, and today the EU actually is at the forefront of global ambitions for a sustainable future. Reaching the SDGs is part of that commitment, and we simply need to success for the benefit of all of us. And I look forward to our discussion to come. Thanks a lot, Professor.
Thank you, Ambassador. I now pass the floor to Mr. Dimitris Iliopoulos, Ambassador retired and former Principal Advisor to the EAS, Research Associate at LIAMEP and member of the Board of Arilon and the HELIS, who is going to talk about Goal 17.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Professor. Actually, it's SDG 14. Now, as you mentioned, I have the privilege to address this distinguished panel and the audience as a member of the board of both Alilon and HELIS, the Hellenic Institute for Strategic Studies. So, as previously stated, the 2030 Agenda on Sustainable Development and its 17 Sustainable Development Goals is a global plan of action to drive economic prosperity and social well-being while protecting the environment. I have chosen SDG 14, which is about conserving and sustainably using the oceans, seas, and marine resources for sustainable development, because for its paramount importance for mankind. Life as we know it has started from the oceans, from water, and actually it's keep on feeding on and being sustained by water or the oceans. Therefore, it's the well-being, let's say, of the water element in our planet, as I said, is of paramount importance. At the outset, it should be underscored that our oceans, that is the planet's largest ecosystem, is heavily endangered as we speak. The main threats are the plastic and marine pollution, the warming of the oceans, overfishing, and acidification. I'll give you a few examples. The plastic pollution is choking the oceans. Only in 2021, 17 plus million metric tons of plastic entered the oceans. This figure is projected to double or triple by 2040. On the other hand, increasing acidification due to uncontrolled industrial output is threatening marine life and limiting the ocean's capacity to moderate climate change, another important issue. It is to be noted that the oceans absorb around 1/4 of the global annual CO2 emissions. Thus, we understand, let's say, the utility of that we keep them in good shape. The strategic goal 14, I will start with that, is split in various sectorial actions, which I will name. For instance, target 14.1/1 foresees that by 2025, it should prevent and significantly reduce marine pollution of all kinds, in particular from land-based activities, including marine debris and nutrient pollution. I'm afraid that, again, from what we heard previously, this target will be very difficult to achieve. Then we have target 14/2, which provided for sustainably manage and protect marine and coastal ecosystems to avoid significant adverse impacts, including by strengthening their resilience and take action for their restoration in order to achieve healthy and productive oceans. Target 14/3 is to minimize and address the impacts of ocean acidification, including through enhanced scientific cooperation at all levels. Target 14/4 provides for effectively regulating harvesting and overfishing, illegal, unreported, unregulated fishing, and destructive fishing practices, and implement science-based management plans in order to restore fish stocks in the shortest time feasible, at least to levels that can produce maximum sustainable yield as determined by their biological characteristics. Target 14/5 provides for conserving at least 10% of coastal and marine areas consistent with national and international law and based on their best available scientific information. Target 14/6 provides for prohibiting certain forms of fishery subsidies which contribute to overcapacity and overfishing, thus eliminating subsidies that contribute to illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, and refrain from introducing new such subsidies, recognizing that appropriate and effective special and differential treatment for developing and least developed countries should be an integral part of the World Trade Organization fisheries subsidies negotiation. Then target 14/7 provides that by 2030, there should be an increase in the economic benefits to small islands, developing states, and least developed countries from the sustainable use of marine resources, including through sustainable management of fisheries, aquaculture, and tourism. Target 14A provides for increasing scientific knowledge, develop research capacity, and transfer marine technology. Then target 14B provides access for small-scale artisanal fishers to marine resources and markets. Target 14C provides for enhancing the conservation and sustainable use of the oceans and the resources by implementing international law as reflected in UNCLOS, which provides the legal framework for the conservation and sustainable use of oceans. Now, having these targets in mind, as inscribed in the document signed some years back in Rio, the EU had to devise, a policy to respond to the above challenges. So in this light, the EU has established the what is called the Integrated Maritime Policy, IMP, which is based on the idea that the Union can draw higher returns from its marine space with less impact on the environment by coordinating its wide range of interlinked activities related to oceans, seas, and coasts. Hence, the IMP aims at strengthening the so-called blue economy, encompassing all sea-based economic activities. The IMP provides, actually it's a policy framework aiming to foster the sustainable development of all sea-based activities and coastal regions by improving the coordination of policies affecting the oceans. The main objectives, I will go through them very quickly, is maximizing the sustainable use of the oceans in order to enable the growth in maritime regions and coastal regions as regards shipping, seaports, shipbuilding, maritime jobs, and the environmental and fisheries management. I will come to that in a little while. Another target objective is building a knowledge and innovation base for maritime policy. Another one is improving the quality of life in coastal regions by encouraging coastal and maritime tourism and other economic activities. Also promoting EU leadership in international maritime affairs through enhanced cooperation at the level of international ocean governments and on a European scale through the European neighborhood policy and the Northern Dimension. Finally, another objective is raising the visibility of maritime Europe through the European Atlas of the Seas internet application as a means of highlighting the common European maritime heritage. There has been several achievements, which I will go through very quickly because of lack of time. One is the Blue Growth, which is a long-term strategy. It has already started yielding some results. Marine data acknowledge is advancing relatively fast. The maritime spatial planning has been put in place and is started also giving some results together with the integrated maritime surveillance. In these efforts, the role of the European Parliament should be stressed. As from the very beginning, Parliament has given active support to different initiatives to establish the Union's integrated maritime policy and endorsing many of its initiatives. The EU shipping industry is quite an important, part to this effort, as it constitutes 40% of the world fleet in by 2020, maybe these days more. Because of lack of time, I will go a little bit faster. I would say that in this effort, green politics should be taken into account by looking to the decarbonization of the shipping, which is a big target, technologically not easy to achieve, and also having some adverse economic financial impact that shies away member states for the full implementation. And finally, I will close by saying that there is a common fishery policy that is expressed through the European Fisheries Control Agency, who is tasked to promote the highest common standards of control inspection, both on sea fishing and aquaculture. Our colleague Christina has said before, everybody now is looking at the 2023 SDG summit to be convened in September 23 to really look into the adversities on the implementation of the goals and try to devise methods to work faster on all the goals set previously, including, of course, SDG 14, as we said, to the benefit of the current and future generations. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ambassador. And our last speaker for this panel is Professor Theodosiou, Nikolaos Theodosiou. He is professor here at the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki. And he will also look at Goal 17 from the perspective of the Observatory Black Sea countries hosted at the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki. Dear Professor, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, dear colleague. And I would like also to thank you for the invitation to participate in this very important meeting today. I am a professor of the Department of Civil Engineering at the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki, but I'm also chairing one of the United Nations networks concerning the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. These networks are actually the solution that the United Nations presented for the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. These networks are called Sustainable Development Solutions Networks. So the United Nations expect from these networks solutions for the implementation of the SDGs, considering that our current practices and our current knowledge and the status of technology and innovation is not enough to reach the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030. So these networks, they operate under the auspices of the Secretary General of the United Nations, and they are either national or regional networks. And since 2018, we have the privilege of hosting one of the most important SDSN networks, the SDSN Black Sea. This network is comprises 12 countries, most of the Balkan countries and all the countries all around the Black Sea. And we can all understand the importance of this area. It's an area that historically has been in a very important area for humanity. And this network is hosted by the Aristotle University of, is hosted by Greece, it's hosted by the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki. And again, we can understand the strategic importance of such a network being hosted in Greece and in Thessaloniki. I have the privilege of being the chair of this network. Professor Zarudiadis, along with other colleagues from the Aristotle University, are members of the Leadership Council of this network, as well as representatives of all the countries, all the 12 countries that participate in this network. So within this network, our goal is to acknowledge the new innovations, the new innovative ideas that come out of universities and the research that is performed in the universities, and try to see how this new ideas can be used in the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. 2 years ago, we were assigned a project by the Black Sea Economic Cooperation Organization to perform a feasibility study on the need to develop an observatory, a common observatory for all these countries for the following of the progress of the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. We developed this project. You can find in our website the full report. It's a really very interesting report. Of course, it emphasizes on the need to have such a common observatory, because we need to have to collaborate in order to have a common way of identifying the status of each country in this common process. In order to go anywhere, we need to know where we stand. And in order to know where we stand, we need to have a common way of identifying our status, our current status in this process of achieving the Sustainable Development Goals. I was asked today to talk about Goal 17, which is Partnership for the Goals. This is probably the most important goal, Sustainable Development Goal, because it's an umbrella for everything. We know that in order to be able to achieve, to progress, not to achieve, because We are not going to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030. We know that by now. But in order to progress in the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals, we need to work together. We need to partner. And this is actually the whole idea of the Sustainable Development Goals. The SDGs are not 17 goals. They are just one goal in with 17 dimensions. It's impossible and it's not feasible to try to achieve or to progress in one goal without acknowledging the same, introducing the same effort to achieve the others. It's like trying to solve a Rubik's Cube where in order to fulfill the task, you need to have all the faces of the cube solved together. This is the approach that we need to follow to implement the Sustainable Development Goals. So the goals are interconnected, and they are not always in the same way interconnected. We must understand that progress in one goal may lead to problems or issues in another goal. So it's not a common progress. This is why we need to focus on the SDGs as a whole and not as separate goals. Now, coming back to the partnership, especially in areas that are so diverse as our area of focus, the Balkans and the Black Sea, if we don't cooperate and if we don't work together, and I'm talking about countries that do not have the best relations between them, but to say it very politically, we need to find ways to work together because this is our common goal. In 2015, we all agreed to follow this process, to follow this approach, to follow this pathway through the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. Someone mentioned earlier, before the ink dried, we understood that that was not what everyone understood, and everyone was willing to implement. But we need to work together on that. There was some large discussion about the Global South, about developing countries compared to developed countries and to the progress in achieving the Sustainable Development Goals. We cannot leave anyone behind. This is the motto of the SDGs, not to leave no one behind. But what we need to understand is that we don't have the privilege to leave anyone behind, because that will backfire to the whole process and will change the whole process. So we need to work together. And this is the concept and the main idea of this observatory that we suggested that should be developed. This will give us the opportunity to work together, to understand where everyone stands, to help each other, to help countries understand the methodology, the ideas, the concept, the approach, the data, the measurements, the research that is being done in different countries, and to accumulate all that in order to benefit from this good practices. So we need this. We need to follow in this. We need to focus on this. We are trying very hard to go to the next step. We know that it's the feasibility study showed that it's absolutely necessary to have this observatory, but we need to go to the next step and start implementing it, so that we can provide this the solution, we can provide the assistance, the help, the new innovative ideas that are implemented in some of the countries. We can forward them to the other countries and help them establish this common goal. As I said, we know that we are not going to do what we thought in 2015 that we are going to achieve in 2030. It was mentioned that in UN in September, there are going to be a lot of discussions on on the status of the current status of the process, because we are actually midway. This year, 2023, is midway between 2015 and 2030. So we are going to reevaluate where we stand, how ended up here, why we ended up here, and most importantly, how we are going to move for the second period of the implementation of the SDGs until 2030, and even further, of course, because 2030 is just a milestone, it's not the target. I don't want to take too much of your time because I know we're already out of schedule. So I will stop here and make myself available for any questions or discussions that might arise. Thank you.
I just take advantage of having the floor to thank again the extraordinary speakers that we had in this panel, and you personally for accepting to monitor this dream team of SDGs, as I said.